Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. Today, the theme is something a bit different as we talk about group fusion and unity, preparing the way for the externalization of the master's ashrams in our world and humanity's response to the new energies streaming into the planet as the sun aligns itself more with the constellation of Aquarius. The energies are those of synthesis, cooperation, and group endeavor. The emergence and externalization of this planet's spiritual hierarchy is something that eventually everyone will understand and be part of. For now, it's those who have a connection with the various ashrams on the inner planes that endeavor to make known this information. The aim has been to replicate the inner plane ashrams in the material everyday world of humanity. This has not been a simple task, but with the Masters of Wisdom guiding us, it is one they are sure we will eventually accomplish. The following article is taken from the April 2018 issue of Share International magazine, and it's the May issue, and it's titled Impersonality in Group Relations. It's actually the second part of an article, but the first part of which we will read the next week.
Thank you. Right, so in this article was written by Phyllis Power. Love is an unbroken stream of God-given energy which magnetically ties together the tiny little blocks of matter which make the universe, and at the same time the individual blocks which make a group. That is from Benjamin Krem. And now I'd like to look at the requirement for impersonality, detachment, or divine indifference. Through some extracts from the writings of the Master, Dewal Kul, DK for short, in the Alice Bailey books, Benjamin Krem, and Art Duryansi, author and esotericist who wrote many compilations of the Bailey books. This article only scratches the surface and offers only a partial view, so I hope the reader will look at these writings and offers for much more. These teachers all emphasize the fundamental importance of achieving impersonality in group relations. Achieved, impersonality is the foundation for a profound and all-embracing soul-based love that is quite different from everyday relationships.
Benjamin Krem says, "We have to understand that true group work has to be based on a divine indifference. To advance individually and in group formation, there has to be complete impersonality in relation to each other and to the work. Sooner or later, that impersonality has to develop." The Master DK stresses the need for impersonality in all of a disciple's relationships, with his master, his fellow workers, and also, importantly, with him herself. The master looks for an effort on the part of the disciple to be impersonal in his dealings, both with him and with his co-disciples. Impersonality is the first step upon the road to spiritual love and understanding. And DK also says, a sense of proportion which enables the disciple to see his little personal affairs, physical, emotional and mental, in terms of the whole. So again, we arrive at impersonality. This time, impersonality to a man's own reaction.
For Art Durance, too, impersonality is a soul quality that transcends personality concerns. And now a quote, this is taken from the Share International September 1995 edition. The gaining of true impersonality and detachment is but another way of saying that the disciple has succeeded in lifting himself above the problems of the personality and is now enabled to work from the level of the soul. He has learnt acceptance and can therefore handle every situation in a spirit of love, refusing to take hasty action that might permit any form of separation to creep into his relationships with his fellow man. Durance usefully distinguishes impersonal love from the kind of impersonality or detachment that can serve as a psychological withdrawal and distancing from others, an indifference or preoccupation. For some people, some ray structures, this is intellectually relatively easy to achieve, but it lacks the love that is a fundamental part of the soul-based impersonality. The disciple finally comes to the discovery that impersonality is not based on indifference or preoccupation, but upon deep understanding, a dynamic focus on world service, upon a sense of proportion, and upon a detachment which will enable him to render true help to his fellow man.
For all of these writers, impersonality is the first step in group relations, and it must precede and override the loving relations that most groups try to build. The Master DK says in the book Discipleship in the New Age, the effort of most sincere disciples is usually concentrated upon loving each other, and in this, to use an old simile, they put the cart before the horse. Their effort should be to achieve, first of all, impersonality in their dealings, for when that has been achieved, criticism dies out and love can pour in. Benjamin Krem often carefully distinguishes impersonal love from everyday relationships. The hardest rule of all, it seems, the one that really engages people precisely at their glamours, is the requirement for impersonal group relationships. That seems to be a tough one for every group because of the personality glamours of liking and disliking. The requirement for achieving impersonal group relationships is that they should not be based on liking or disliking. These are opposites, and you have to go beyond the pair of opposites, however they express themselves. We like some people and can work with them. We dislike others and cannot. These are personality reactions which have no place in occult groups.
Occult groups are not about personalities. We are not talking about a group of people forming a football team or a group of businessmen forming a new company. That is a completely different thing. This is a group of souls working consciously on the soul level, coming into incarnation at the same time under ashramic necessity. And that is from the book The Art of Cooperation by Benjamin Krem. However, from a human and common sense point of view, and Benjamin Krem often advocates the usefulness of common sense, Benjamin Krem does not rule out the possibility of close personal relationships in a group. This is not prescribed. People think they must not have personal relations. It must not be built on personal relations. It does not mean that you are not to have personal relations, but what you do has to be built around the work and not around personal relationships. And that is from Share International, January 2002. We see then that impersonality in the esoteric sense is not an intellectual or an emotional stance, but an intrinsic soul and therefore a love-imbued attribute.
From another book by Benjamin Krem, he says, of course, that spiritual detachment can only be based on some initial, profound, unspoken, but unwavering love. Love must hold the group together. But that love must not be expressed in terms of personality likings, nor lack of it expressed in personality dislikes. A deep underlying love between the group members makes it possible for the group to work together in unison as a reflection of an inner ashramic relationship, because the soul has this divine indifference already. Impersonality is essential but hard to achieve. The path to its achievement in the case of this group is through the emergence work itself. But it is a constant struggle to rise above our many personality concerns. We have glamours that make us certain that our desires, prejudices and preconceptions are real and make us unaware of our underlying motivation. The trouble with glamour, of course, is that it is easier to see in others than to recognise it in ourselves.
Benjamin Krem, who frequently confronts us with our glamours, suggests that our motives for service are permeated by personality desires that militate against impersonal, loving relations. Everyone's motive will be more or less mixed. I wonder how many people can say that they enter this work out of a pure, simple desire to serve the world to the best of their ability. And that was from Share International in 1988. The Master D.K. Riley makes a similar point. It is hard for the disciple during the process of his early training to hold earnestly to his own ideals and to pursue forcefully his own spiritual integration, and yet remain impersonally oriented towards other people. He seeks recognition of his struggle and achievement. He longs to have the light which he has kindled draw forth a reaction from others. He wants to be known as a disciple. He aches to show his power and his highly developed love nature so that he may evoke admiration or at least challenge. But nothing happens. He is looked upon as no better than all the rest of his brothers. Life, therefore, proves dissatisfying. As Benjamin Krem frequently reiterated, disciples must not expect recognition neither from their co-workers nor from the master.
The royal road to impersonality is through a detached focus on the group work. Durance writes that by practicing detachment, the person gradually realizes that the soul is the real self and that the material body is merely an instrument through which he is temporarily functioning. When he becomes aware of the fact that, from his position of observer, he can, with serene detachment, act as the director of forces on behalf of humanity, that in fact he is the soul. However, as Mr. Krem points out, every undue effort you make to overcome a failing, a glamour, simply makes the condition worse. By setting up a resistance, the person stays within the same mindset. Instead, he advocates, try to get above the stage of liking and disliking and try to see them, your co-workers, as, like you, souls in incarnation doing their best for the same cause. In other words, try to be more tolerant, more detached, more impersonal in the group relationship. Look at yourself and ask yourself why you do not like the other members or their way of working.
Similarly, Krishnamurti's way is through an awareness that is the opposite of striving, fully attentive watching and accepting, without resistance, without trying to change, our thoughts, emotions and reactions, and allowing them quietly to pass out of our consciousness. Or, as mindfulness practitioners put it, it is about beginning to realize that I am not my emotions. It is up to everyone to make this effort at impersonality in every group. It is always the aspiration to serve and the work itself that should guide our actions and relationships. But of course, this is easier said than done. For the co-workers of the emergence group, the practice of transmission meditation also offers a space for impersonal service. Sitting with others, hopefully aligned, each person engaged in the same silent task, where speech is irrelevant and everyone knows that the purpose is service to the world. Without trying to direct the powerful energies that come to us, we can surely experience the impersonality of service that on a deep level unites us.
In the end, then, perhaps we can simply reflect on the need to be impersonal in all our day-to-day group work and attempt to look at ourselves in our group relations consciously and dispassionately, not too heavily, but with acceptance and maybe even with some humour. Accepting that we are not remotely perfect, we can practice an attitude of non-criticism towards ourselves as well as to others. We can remind ourselves that we are part of a worldwide group brought together for one unifying purpose by a master of wisdom. That the service work we do, to whatever extent, for Maitreya and the masters, must be more important than our smaller concerns. And that group unity is always more important than our individual selves. As ever, Benjamin Krem points the way. And he says in the book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 2, aim first and foremost at impersonal work, impersonal group relations. The love that you think is love is personality desire. Become impersonal and love will constantly and instinctively flow. Then it can be expressed as it is, a soul quality and not in a personality owning of another personality or the cliques which are formed in many groups. This is very important.
It is not to do with the personality or personality needs or personality habits. It is to do with the recognition of another person's soul's response to this tremendous idea. There is no bigger idea in the whole of the world. I cannot overemphasize it. What is happening now is the most important event in 98,000 years. It is extraordinary. The Christ is in the world, not just someone you read about in a book. It is the return to the world of the Christ, plus Jesus, plus the other masters. That article was published in the May 2018 issue of Share International magazine. And of course, with the energies of the Aquarian age being only group-focused, all the preceding information and material becomes very relevant, no matter what cause the group has gathered around. And in a future program, we will share with you the following series, which sets out to examine the intriguing notion of using the forces of destruction in a positive manner within group work, which is the second requirement for group cohesion.
So we'd like to finish today's program with a message from Maitreya. My dear friends, I'm happy indeed to be with you once more in this way. My emergence takes place in mounting rhythm. My brothers and sisters, within a few days, shall see and hear me. I shall speak to them of the need for love and justice in the affairs of men, in the affairs of state, in the association of peoples. And I shall show them that without this divine love and justice, all men will perish. My hope is, they, my brothers, my knowledge is, that mankind will respond to my call. I know this to be so. I know that within men sits the divine being, whose plan it is that love and justice should triumph. This being so, the end is assured. But not all see the necessity for change, for the transformation of this world, for the implementation of sharing, cooperation, and trust. When my simple law, the law of love, is obeyed, all of this will ensue. Therefore, my friends, I speak simply of love and trust.
Many today know that these aspects count, but realize not their central place. My friends, all life depends for its existence on the love of God. The simple truth I teach, make it your own. Make it central to your lives and advance with me. My brothers, the masters of wisdom, will show you the simple path to the future, a future planned for you by the one we call God. That path can be followed by all men, and through my agency shall they come to God. We are with you, my brothers and I. We send you hope. We send you courage. We ask for your trust. We need your allegiance. We count on your divinity. May the divine light and love and power of the one most holy God be now manifest within your hearts and minds. May this manifestation lead you to see yourselves as my colleagues and workers in the light.
Thank you very much for listening in today. If you'd like further information, you can visit the website share-international.org or email us at shareandz@yahoo.com. Love and best wishes to you all.
Your language.